You take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Last week we began a new series on the doctrine of the church or the biblical study of the church. And we talked about last week how it is God is creating the church and how Christ said that He will build His church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And there's a promise there. And we saw that God has planned His church and Christ has died in order for us to be saved. He has shed His blood and been risen so that we can have life in Him. And how the Spirit of God then works to call us back to God, bringing us into His kingdom for His glory. And so we saw last week God creating a people that of sinners, those who are hell-deserving, hell-bound apart from the grace of God, and yet it was Christ who saved us for His glory. And so we saw that last week, and this week we're going to focus on something that's important that you, and we're going to hear in just a moment in 2 Timothy about the importance of preaching the word or preaching the gospel. And this passage right here is not just for me as your pastor and preacher. There's applications and implications in this passage for all of us as a church. Because here's the thing. Without the preaching of the word, our church will cease to exist to be a church. It is the preaching of God's word that distinguishes us as a church body. We're different than the rest of the societies of the world and the clubs of the world because we are God's people made by the word of God. Paul says it this way in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. If it wasn't for the preached word of God, none of us would be here today. None of us would be saved. None of us would have life in Christ Jesus. And so, and for us to understand the rest of what we are to do as a church, to understand the functions of the church and why we baptize and why we observe the Lord's Supper, why we are to serve one another, encourage one another, why we give to God, why we go on mission, in order to understand the nature and the function of the church, we have to first understand that this is our instructions for that. This is what the Lord has given us for us to understand how we are to function and how we are to live for Him. And so you and I, we need the preaching of the word. If we went around this room and you took a survey and you said, what is the number one job that David, as your pastor, should do? If I asked each of you that question, I would probably get different answers. Some of you might say it's the importance of counseling. It's individual counseling. Or it may be evangelism, that I go out and do evangelism in the community. Some of you may say it's pastoral visitation. Some of you may think it is leading in decision-making. And listen, all of those things are important. And if I do not do those things, I am not being a faithful pastor to you. But the most important thing that I can do as your pastor is each week is open the Word of God before you and preach it to you. That's Sunday mornings. That's Wednesday nights. That's when I'm in teaching Sunday school to our youth. When I open God's Word, this is the most important thing for us as a church to do each and every week. And it's not because of me. It's because it's the Word of God, as we're going to see in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So I'm going to ask if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, says this. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, Be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Father, thank you for your word. I pray now that your Spirit would guide us, would lead us, and illuminate to us the truth of this passage. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to see four things of why we need as a church the preaching of the word, and why this must be the primary focus of our church, the preaching of the word. And the first thing we're going to see is we need the preaching of the word because judgment is coming. We see this in verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. If you remember, 2 Timothy is Paul's final letter, his last charge to the son of in the faith, Timothy. Paul's in prison. Paul's about to be put to death. Why? Because he's preaching the word. Because he loves God. He's come to know, come to have been saved by Christ Jesus, and he has been preaching and preaching and preaching, and he's in prison for preaching, and he's telling Timothy, endure suffering. Listen, there's a culture out there that hates God, that doesn't know God, and he's reminding Timothy that even in the church that there are some issues, but the main focus for you is to preach the word, and he gives us a high calling here in verse 1 because there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment. Paul says, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God. He's saying this, God is my witness, and Jesus Christ is my witness. I'm charging you to do this. Why? Because we live in the presence of God. Because God is always watching. Because God knows all things. He knew the ministry of Paul. He knew the ministry of Timothy. He knows our ministry here, and he is watching to see if we are going to be a faithful congregation to him. And so Paul is reminding this to Timothy, and he says he is charging him, and then he says that Christ Jesus one day, he's going to return, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. All men, when they die, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we did with Christ, whether we trusted in him, whether we threw ourselves at the mercy of the cross, whether we trusted in the saving work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection. When we get to heaven, it's not going to be about our good works. It's not going to be about what we did. It's going to be, did you trust in the shed blood of Christ and his resurrection? And there's going to be a lot of people that stand before the Lord not having trusted in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he made him who knew no sin to be sin that we might become the righteousness of Christ. So when you and I, those who have trusted in Christ, when we stand before the throne of God, when we stand before him in judgment, we won't stand before him saying, Lord, I've done all of this for you. We'll stand, we'll bow before him and cast ourselves to him and say, it's only by Christ. So Paul is saying, there's an urgency here. Preach the word because there's an urgency of eternity, because there's literally hell and heaven in the balance. We saw this Wednesday night when we were finishing Joshua chapter 6, and I turned over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where Paul is telling this church at Thessalonica, he's saying, recognize that there are going to be people who do not trust Christ and believe in him who will be eternally punished and separated from God. That right there ought to show the urgency of why this is important each and every week, because literally, hell and heaven depend upon it. And our souls depend upon the preaching of the word because we will all one day be judged. There's a second thought in this with the judging. This is for you to hold me accountable, for me to be accountable to you, that I, as your pastor, will be judged in a greater way. Listen to two passages. James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. I'm going to be held accountable I'm held accountable now and in the future for what I preach to you, how I lead you, how I pastor you. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I am one day going to stand before the Lord and give an account for how I shepherded this church, how I cared for you, how I led you, how I protected you, how I fed you. And so I don't take this lightly. I don't take my job lightly. I don't take the preaching ministry lightly, because it's important, because judgment is coming. And so may we be a church that upholds the preaching of the word. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. That right there, that verse right there, if you ask me, David, how do you feel on Saturday night and Sunday morning? I have a lot of fear and weakness and trembling, because this is so important, what I do each and every Sunday by standing before you and preaching the word of God. But Paul continues, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. Paul's saying, I didn't have great high language. I wasn't very impressive with my preaching, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but of the power of God. And for us as a church and a church family, my prayer is that it's not about me and my preaching gifts or lack of gifts. I know that you could call someone who is way better at gifted at preaching to you to lead this church. I am not the best preacher. I know that. And I'm thankful that you have been gracious in my first year here as your pastor to watch me grow in this ministry, and Lord willing, I'll improve, and I hope so, and for your sake, I hope so. But it's not about my ability or inability. It's about the power of God in the Spirit demonstrated in the preaching ministry. Amen. I was reminded of that back in August when I missed 4 weeks in the pulpit between Stacy having COVID and vacation and homecoming, and then I had COVID, and you think you get a little lost when that's what you're supposed to do each and every week, and I can't stand up here and proclaim the word of God to you. But I'm so thankful that it is not about a man, it's about the word of God, and that there are capable men that could fill this pulpit and preach to you, because it is the word that you need, not me. Not my opinions, not my preferences, not what I think, but what the word of God says. And so we preach the word because judgment is coming. Second, we preach the word because God's people need the word of God. Paul says this to Timothy in verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. In a rapid fire way, Paul is telling Timothy what he must do as a pastor, as a preacher. He says, number one, preach the word. Herald it out. Proclaim it. Exclaim it, the word. Make sure that you are standing before the people. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he says this, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture and to exhortation and to teaching. So Paul is saying, read the word, teach the word, and explain the word. You don't have to be cute about it. Read the word, teach the word, and explain the word. Apply it to the lives of your congregation. And that's my prayer each and every week as I preach the word to you, that we would hear from the word of God, that we would learn from the word of God, and we would apply it by the Spirit of God to our lives. So he says, preach, remembering that Timothy's not the first preacher of the church. Paul himself was not the first preacher. Peter was a preacher, but he wasn't the first. There are, throughout the entire biblical account, there's people who have been preaching, men who have stood up before people to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," Moses and Ezra and the prophets and the greatest preacher of all, Jesus Christ himself, would stand before men and women and proclaim the word of God. And so this is a high calling I recognize, to be able to be a part of this preaching of the word. So he says, preach and preach the word. Preach the biblical account. Preach scripture. Don't preach what you think, Timothy. Don't preach what you feel. Preach what's in the text. I heard a pastor one time say, he went to a church to visit, and the pastor got up before him and said, "Well, I was praying about what to preach this morning. So I got up and I took a walk." Nothing. That was on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, got up and walked some more. Nothing. Thursday, Friday, Saturday came along. He said, I just didn't feel like the Lord was necessarily leading me to anything this morning. And so he told some stories for about 30 minutes, and then that was the service. And the pastor that had visited that day said, "Open the Bible, read the Bible, and teach it, preach it to the people." He said, "Instead of walking around, open your Bible. God has given us 66 books in this Bible to preach." He said, "Pick one and preach it." And so it's a little funny, but it's sad that is honestly... There's a lot of churches in our country today, in our world today, that do not stand up and have pastors who stand up and preach the word. They tell stories, they cut jokes, they try to entertain people. But listen, you might walk out of here, and if you're entertained, if that's all I'm trying to do, then that does not feed your soul. You don't need to hear jokes from me. They're not very good anyway. You need to hear the preaching of the word. So Paul tells him to preach the word, and he says, do so in season. Be ready in season and out of season. And for a lot of times in my life, I heard that was, you're to be ready no matter what. And I think there's a sense in which that's true. But remember, Timothy's preaching to a congregation here that's got some, they're pushing back against his leadership, and they're not wanting to hear the word. So Paul is saying, whether they want to hear the word or not, preach. Whether it's convenient or not, preach. Whether it's popular or not, preach the word. Whether you're persecuted or not, preach the word in whatever season you find yourself in, Timothy. Be faithful to that. And then he says three words: reprove, rebuke, and exhort. The first one, reprove, is an idea of exposing the wrong thinking of your people by preaching the word to them. Exposing the wrong living. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this: for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So the word cuts deep at times. It cuts deep because we're not always right about everything. We're not always right about the way we think and the way we feel and the way we act. And he's telling Timothy here, reprove these people. Show them their error according to Scripture. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we, when we hear the Word of God, are we being shaped by the Word of God? Are we listening to the Word of God? Do we desire for the Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword to cut us deep and to expose what is wrong in our lives? He says rebuke, and this is a similar thought, but correcting the sin, correcting the error in the lives of the people. Call them to repentance. This is what John the Baptist did. This is what Jesus did. This is what Peter did on the day of Pentecost, where he stood up before the Jewish authorities and he said, "You put to death Christ. Now repent of your sin and believe in Christ Jesus." We must call people to repentance. We must call people to repentance as we recognize the sin in our lives that comes again from the word, that comes from the word. And then he says, exhort, comfort the people, encourage the people. Let the word be a balm to their souls and to their heart for those who are anxious, for those who are fearful, for those who are suffering. And let me just say right here, I think these three areas gives us an understanding of why it is, for the most part, this series is a little different, but why I like to walk through books of the Bible when I preach on Sunday morning. Because it hits all of these areas. It hits and exposes our thinking, and exposes our sin, and it does comfort us. The word does that. And what happens is, if I would not just walk through books of the Bible, there are what they call preacher's hobby horses. There are things that we like to study about and to think about in the Christian life and in Scripture. And that does not give you a good diet of the word. If you remember, we read in last week in Acts chapter 20, when Paul is leaving the city of Ephesus and the church of Ephesus, he says, I'm innocent of the blood of men because I did not fail to teach and preach to you the whole counsel of the word of God. You need the whole counsel of the word of God. You don't need just what's in my own heart. That's why we walk verse by verse through passages of Scripture and books of Scripture, because that's what we need. We need the whole counsel of the word of God. So he says, do this. And then he says, with great patience and instruction. Preaching requires patience. And it requires sound doctrine, instruction, giving them what is right. It not only exposes what is wrong, it tells people what to do and how to make that right and how to live for God. But he tells them to do it patiently. People need, all different kinds of people here are here this morning. Maybe you're here and you do not know the Lord. And you need to hear the gospel and trust in Christ. But maybe you're here and you're a young believer. And you're growing and you're early in your faith, but maybe you're here and you've been a believer for decades and you're more mature. And that's what makes, honestly, preaching so difficult at times, because we have people from every different walks of life, different ages, different spiritual walks of life. And so preaching takes patience. And I know of churches that don't always recognize this. And I think there's two errors with this. In Hebrews chapter 5, the author of Hebrews says, you need the milk of the word, because if not, you'll be choked on the meat of the word. And what he means by that is the spiritual milk, which really grows you as a young believer. And there are churches that they preach milk. They preach the spiritual milk, but that's all they ever give their people. Which means they hear part of the word, but they don't hear all of the word, which means they have a lot of immature believers in their congregations, because the pastor never challenges them and preaches difficult text in Scripture. But on the flip side, there's some churches, some pastors that choke their congregations with the meat of the word. They preach and they say, I don't care if they're right behind me, or if they're a mile behind, they can catch up. I'm preaching, and I'm going to preach whatever I want to preach, and I'm going to give them the meat. It's difficult, and they choke their people, because there are certain things in Scripture and doctrines that are difficult to understand at times, and they're not patient with their people. And so preaching takes patience, walking along everybody in their different walks of spiritual life. And so he says, Timothy, preach with patience. Give them instruction. Give them sound doctrine. Titus chapter 1, verse 9, when Paul is writing to Titus at Crete, and he's giving him the exhortation of what qualifies a pastor, in verse 9, he said, he must hold fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he is able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it. We need both. We need an exposing of false doctrine and false thinking, and we also need sound doctrine and correcting and what is right. So give them instruction. So we need the preaching of the word, because judgment's coming. We need the whole counsel preaching of God, because that's what God has designed for us. Third, we need the preaching of the word because false teaching exists. Verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires or to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Paul is reminding Timothy that there are going to be some in the church that do not want to hear sound teaching, don't want sound doctrine. They want what makes them feel good. They want what makes them laugh. They want what makes them walk out of here feeling great about themselves. They want to be entertained. And he says that time is coming, or they will not endure the sound preaching of the word. They want their ears tickled. And what's sad is they go to such an extent where they will accumulate for themselves teachers. They'll get the people in there that will do that for them. That will do that for them. And what's even scarier that in the day that we live in is that you don't have to call someone in here if you are not entertained, if that's what you want. All you have to do is Google pastors that do that and preachers that do that. And that's what's so scary about technology is that if you have a question about Scripture, you just Google it. I wouldn't advise that because you're going to get all kinds of stuff, all kinds of wrong error in teaching. Because there's a lot of wolves out there. There's a lot of wolves out there that want to come into the flock and tickle the ears of people. And that's not what we need as a church. He says that they will do that according to their own desires. Why? Verse 4, because they turn their ears away from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to be told that they're sinners. They don't want to be told to stop doing something and to start living a holy life. They don't want that. Why? Because it didn't make them feel good. They want to be made to feel good, and they turn aside to myths or to stories or to other things in the world. But what's different, as I said at the beginning of the sermon, from us, from the rest of the world, is that we ought to preach the truth. There's enough wrong teaching in our culture and in our world that you get through social media and through the internet and through television. And God forbid that you would get that in the church. You and I need the right teaching of the Word of God. So I pray that there is no one here that we would not be a church that wants to hear, have our ears tickled, but we have a desire for the Word of God. And listen, that has to grow. The Spirit has to take the word and apply it to our lives, and that grows. But I pray that we would do that. And I'm going quickly through these two verses because in a few weeks in this series, we're going to talk about how it is we can protect our church from false teaching, how we can be, as 1 Timothy 3 says, a pillar and a support of the truth. Because, listen, there's a lot of false teaching, as I said, a lot of false teachers, a lot of wolves. But we need the preaching of the word because there's false teaching. One other thought in this is it's sad to see that there are churches who have compromised on the truth of the gospel, thinking that they're going to reach the world. They say, well, in order to reach the world, we'll become like the world. Will look like the world and act like the world and speak like the world. But here's the thing. When we do that, if we were to do that, then we are no longer a distinct people of God. We are no longer different than the world. God has called us out of the world, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light for a purpose. Listen, we live in a fallen, broken world, but this world is not our home. And as long as God gives us breath to live on this earth, you and I must proclaim the word of God and not myths and stories according to the world. And so false teaching exists. And then finally, number 4, verse 5, we need to preach the word, or we need the preaching of the word in order to fulfill the ministry. He ends by contrasting those false teachers and tells Timothy, don't be like them, verse 5, but you be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Again, a rapid fire succession of what Timothy ought to do. Verse 5, be sober in all things. Timothy, you got to keep your head about you. You got to think straight. You got to be morally upright. You got to be above reproach. You got to live in a way that honors God as you pastor these people, as you shepherd them with the word. And a part of that is, again, being able to recognize false teaching and to be able to recognize the dangers of that and warn those people. He says, be sober in all things. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says this to Timothy, let no one look down on you because of your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. That's how Timothy was to be upright and to be sober-minded. He was to give an example to his congregation in his speech, in his conduct, in his love, in his faith, in his purity. And it's my prayer that I would do that as well as your pastor, that I would live a life that is sober-minded and upright, and that I would keep my head about me, is what Paul says. And then he says, endure hardship. Endure hardship. There's two ways we can look at this. There's hardship in the world from preaching the word. Persecution will come from that. But there's also, again, hardships that were in this church here in Ephesus. This was a difficult church for young Timothy to pastor. This was a hard church who pushed back, who did not like to hear what Timothy was saying. And again, but he was called to preach in season and out of season, whether the word was accepted by the people or not. Paul says, Timothy, you're going to go through difficulties. You're going to go through struggles. You're going to go through suffering. You're going to go through hardship. You've got to endure it. You've got to endure it. If there's one thing that you have heard me talk about a lot, it is the realization that suffering exists in this world, even among and for the people of God. We are not exempt from suffering because we know Christ. I, as your pastor, am not exempt from suffering in this life. And it's my prayer that as suffering and hardships and difficulties come for each of us, that I can shepherd you through that as sufferings come up in my own life as well. I have heard a pastor say this who's older than me, that in some ways pastors suffer in greater ways in order to be an example to their people. That scares me. I don't know what kind of sufferings and hardships that means and what that brings, but there's a sense in which that's true. So that I can be an example to you, so that I can know how to walk alongside of you and hold your hand and counsel you and shepherd your soul as your pastor. Then he says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Sadly, I think that there are some churches that think that's the pastor's job. He preaches and shares the gospel. It's his job. That's why we pay him. We don't have to do that. That is not true. All of us, as believers, are called to share the gospel, but I am called to lead in that. I'm called to lead in that in a couple of ways. One, that's through meeting people in the community and sharing the gospel in my daily life. But my number one way of doing that is publicly proclaiming the gospel each and every week, calling people to repentance, helping you to see that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And as Ephesians 2 says, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and that none of us, no matter what we do, can save ourselves. It's the mercy and the grace of God that has come in the person of Jesus Christ with his perfect life and his sacrificial death and his victorious resurrection. That is the gospel, and that is what saves us. That's what calls us to God. That's what we need. And so each week, as I proclaim the word and proclaim the gospel, I am calling people to repentance. Maybe you're here today and you've never believed, you've never trusted in Christ for salvation. Today is the day Today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart any longer, is what Hebrews says. Fall upon the Lord for grace. Trust in Him. And finally, Paul says, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry, Timothy. Paul gives an example of this in verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. There's a promise in there that for all those who have trusted in Christ and believed in him and have loved his first appearing, when he comes again, we will know him. We will be with him forever. And that is my ministry, is to help shepherd you by preaching the gospel, by seeing people saved, by seeing people sanctified and growing in the Lord more and more. Back in August, the end of August, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated our homecoming, 118 years here at First Baptist Church of Lowry's. 118 years. That's a wonderful thing. And my prayer and my desire is that the Lord would be gracious to give us another 100 years of ministry here in this community. And the only way for that to happen is if you and I determine now to be a church that upholds the holy, inspired, and inerrant Word of God and preaches it without compromise so that we can honor the Lord. This is what we need. We need the preaching of the Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for your Word. I pray that you would help us to be a people that hear your Word, that you would give us ears to hear what your Word has to say to us, Father. And that you would open our eyes to the truth. You would save the lost. You would call them to yourselves through faith and repentance and trust in Christ. And for those that know you, Father, you would continue to grow them. Help us to desire the Word, Father. Help us to long for it. Help us to look forward to hearing the preaching of your Word, because your Word gives life, Father. We need to hear from you each and every week, Father. So help us to be a church that proclaims your Word unashamedly in an uncompromised way that honors and glorifies you. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.